friends, and welcome to Hello Friend. My name is Bethany Rutter, and today's friend is Jasmine Lee. Jasmine is someone I wanted to talk to because she does some extremely noble and difficult work indeed. She's the founder and creative director of an independent plus-size fashion brand. But first, how do we know each other?
Through Twitter, we follow each other, and I love everything that you post.
Well, thank you.
Not at all.
Tell me a bit about your business.
So, Plus Equals, I set it up. It's just come to a year old. There was some work before that I did, but it was never sort of online. It was a bit, initially it was upcycled and vintage plus size fashion, sizes 14 to 26. And then about five, 6 months down the line, I launched its first sort of handmade custom made collection. And it's just been going from there. The size range has now expanded up to a 42, and I make made to measure stuff.
That is so cool. And I feel like there are a couple of things that set out Plus Equals that kind of set it apart from other brands. And one is obviously the look of the clothes, which we can go into, but the other is the size range, which is basically unprecedented in the market.
Oh, thank you. Do
you think it's easier for you to do that because you're independent, or is it harder for you to do that and it's just something that you're really committed to and you will, you know, make whatever sacrifices and changes necessary to enable it?
I think the latter, definitely, because everything... So how Plus Equals works now is I get the order in and then I make it from the fabric there, and then I'll make the pattern up and we'll go from there. So I think it's a lot easier. I haven't got a stock sort of such a massive size range. I can just have the fabric and then make it up. But I think it's important because, I mean, even up to like a size 26 to 32, it's still quite hard, I find, to find really funky, cool fashion. And taking it further, I think it just opens up the conversation, I guess is the right word, to say, okay, well, not everyone who's over a size 32 just wants to wear black, beige, camel.
Accept what they're given.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like with plus size fashion, it's almost like, well, this is what you can wear and that's it. Not like it is for straight sizes where it's like, look at all these possibilities.
Look at all these different people you can be. Whereas with plus size fashion, it's like, this is the person we imagine that you are.
Exactly. And it's like, these are the rules that you should follow. You should be nipping and tucking. You should be wearing flattering clothes. No,
that's just none of
not,
that.
No, no,
and that's
thank
just
you.
Not what your brand is about at all.
No,
like
not
today,
at all.
You have so kindly brought me a gift, and
yeah.
I'm going to describe it for the good people at home. I haven't actually taken it out of the bag yet, but I can already see that it's this like rainbow sequined item. And like that is really hard to find in plus sizes. Like what you are making is really difficult to find. It's not like anything else. Like the prints are so unusual and vibrant. And it just feels like a range that would otherwise exist for thin women. And we'd all be like hanging out on Twitter being like, oh my God, I would love it if this range went up to my size. Whereas this range is only for people our size.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It needs to be exclusive because... just because we're fat or over a certain size doesn't mean that we don't want to wear those clothes. Like, that's how I've grown up. I've grown up it's sort of the weird art kid, whatever. Like, you know, I wanted to be like Lady Gaga. I didn't want to be like, I don't know, my nun used to call me Dawn French at times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love Dawn French, but no, I was more of a Gaga. So, I mean, I've gone from a size 26 to a size 14, up to sort of like an 18 to 20, like been at all ends of it. And it's still so difficult. Like, even if you're at that small end, 14, you can go into Topshop and stuff won't fit you because size 10s are wearing 14. Not that I support Topshop in the slightest. I think he should pay his taxes. It's just something I felt so passionate about, and I wanted to give people the option to do that because
we deserve it.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you think it's hard for people at the smaller end of plus size, imagine how, I'm going to say hard, but what I really mean is basically impossible it is for people at the higher end of the spectrum.
Exactly.
And I think what's interesting is that as much as there is a kind of cutoff between like straight size and plus size, there are those benchmarks within plus size as well. Like once you get over a 24, finding cool shit that you want becomes so much more difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, yeah, my kind of size has fluctuated as well over the years. And I can tell you firsthand, and that's why it really like irks me when people, you know, kind of say you're being divisive if you acknowledge that it's easier for someone who's a size like 18, 20 than it is for someone that's like a 26, 28, 30 and above.
It's not at all. It's just honesty. Yeah. Like, you know, let's take, for example, ASOS Curve. Like, they're doing great things. I think that they do offer great clothes most of the time.
Yep.
They seem to me to be like one of the only ones that A, get their sizing anywhere near right, but also are willing to put out prints, to put out textures, to put out shorter things or whatever.
Tight, bright textures.
Yeah, exactly.
Patterns. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of areas that I think that they can improve on, of course, but if you go maybe somewhere like Boohoo Plus, you could be a 16 and buy a size 24. So that automatically like, cancels out anyone over the size 20.
Yeah, what is a 24 going to buy? And that's what I always say is when it's like, when sizes are totally whack and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe in this brand a size 10 is actually a size 14, or like an extra large is actually only a size 14. And I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever. But what does that mean for people at the higher end? Like they are completely sized out.
Exactly. And they shouldn't be deprived. I feel like it also plays into the role that fat people have in society as well, you know, how we're seen as like such a burden on the NHS and how we're draining all these resources and whatever. You know, just because we're above a certain weight or size doesn't mean we don't deserve to wear whatever the fuck we want, to be honest.
Or that we're not interested in wearing
exactly.
it. Like, psychologically, we can clearly have no interest in our appearance. If we're willing to be fat, then we clearly can't care about what we wear.
The way that way that we look and the way that we express ourselves. You know, for me, fashion is an expression. And I think it's so integral in a lot of people's souls that they should be able to do that. Like, if you want to get up one day and wear a black dress, but if you want to get up the next day and wear a pair of eye print leggings, you should be able to do that,
yeah.
No matter your size. So it's got to happen.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that plus equals, I believe, does really well is using really interesting and diverse models.
Thank you.
How do you find those people? How do you source them? Is this something that you've always, when you started the business, you were like, this is going to be part of what I do?
So I worked for about, I think it was 5 years with Brighton Fashion Week. And the last two of them, I was their model casting director. The first three, I was sort of helping with the model coordination and hair and makeup coordination. And a lot of the team, especially in Brighton, you know, it encouraged a lot of students. I was a student when I first started there as well. We all loved fashion in our own way, but we all agreed that diversity in fashion is hard. Like, to look into the magazines that we aspire to, like, dress like, whatever, to see someone who is of colour, like, it's awful. And I carried that with me really quite seriously throughout anything I did in fashion, especially when I was casting the shows. Like, it had to have a diverse lineup. I wasn't going to cast anyone that was too skinny as such, inverted air commas. And when I set up Plus Equals, it was a chance for me not only to do all the work that I wanted to do, but to also put out my vision of diversity in my own work, as well as changing other things that I've always hated. So the models that I initially started working with, it was really hard to find plus size models when you haven't sort of established yourself as such. So I was sort of taking in as I could, and then I started to get a lot of interest from people. For me, I look at, again, places like ASOS. They're using a very sort of one size fits all kind of model.
And yeah, pretty much all the ASOS Curve models are reasonably interchangeable in that they're like slim, curvy white women with long brown hair, like long light brown hair, big mouth, wide smile, mm-hmm. probably heavy eyebrows, hourglass figure.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of amazing black models who are on ASOS.
Yeah.
But most, I feel like most of the product shots are done on those women that I described initially.
Exactly. And they think that's because that's what sells. And for me, it's obviously selling is a really integral part of your business, but it's also to make a social change. Like, you know, if the reaction that I get spurs it on, everyone loves the models that I use, and it's a chance for me to also give them the light. You know, they need the limelight.
And also, like, pictures for their portfolio, even in a the most kind of banal terms of, like, practical stuff like that. Like, giving them experience of being shot and having their hair and makeup done and getting the pictures that they can show another potential client, that's very valuable for them, and it's valuable for you because you've got like an amazing array of bodies and skin tones and shapes and sizes that your clothes are being seen on.
Yeah.
And then that probably widens the pool of people that want to buy from you.
Advertising as a whole needs to be about showing people what they can look like in it and what they can wear, but also I feel such a sort of responsibility to show the people that are going to start looking up to this, hopefully without sounding big-headed, that there is such an array of people out there, and it's kind of almost for all the people that grew up not seeing themselves represented. You know, whether you're fat, you're black, you're Asian, you've got Afro hair, you've got no hair, whatever, like, you need to be able to look up to media and say, okay, no, I am right. Like, you know, I am valid because there's someone that looks like me. And I think we're the generation that's going to set that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. And I really want to be
part of that.
Yeah. And I want to, you know, show people that it can be done. It's important to do it.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, and this is something that, like, I say anytime kind of anyone talks to me about this stuff, or anytime I'm interviewed, or anytime I get the opportunity to. But someone that I follow, Gina Tonic, super
yes.
cool. She was,
love her.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she? I'd really like to meet her in person.
Yeah, same. She wants to come model.
Does
and
she?
I really want her to come model.
Oh my God,
model.
Make it happen.
Yeah, it will happen. Gina, if you're listening, it will happen.
I hope you're listening. So she was posting pictures of Beth Ditto. She was posting like a thread mm-hmm. of pictures of Beth Ditto. And one of the first ones she posted was a picture of Beth Ditto on stage, really super sweaty in her bra and pants. And I was like, this photo really changed things for me because I had never seen a picture like that.
Yeah.
And it really is testament to the life-altering and calming quality of seeing yourself reflected in the world around you. And it's even as simple as saying, like, I'm not alone. Like, yeah. I'm not the only person that looks like this.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just really think there's so much value in putting images of
Absolutely.
People into the world who do not look like all the other people that you've been seeing your whole life. So I'm really grateful that Plus Equals is prioritizing that.
Thank you. It's important. It's really important.
And are you doing most of this yourself? Like, is this just a kind of...
I'm a one-woman show.
That's
at the moment.
Very
yeah.
admirable.
And I have to keep my part-time job as well, which is fine. I go in 2 days a week. I work in a phone shop, which is glamorous. And every other waking minute that I have is spent on Plus Equals. And I'm very, very fortunate in that I have a lot of amazing contacts that, you know, I always find it really humbling when people can come and work with me and build up this vision. And I think that's what it's really about in fashion, is everyone coming together and we make magic almost, like, you know.
Because it is more fun.
Ideas.
It's way more fun working with someone.
Of course.
But, yeah, until you can, like, employ someone, it's like Jasmine against the world.
Yeah, but, hey, we'll make it work.
How have you found the kind of blogging world regarding being like a new brand?
It's quite tough because the thing with blogging is like it relies a lot on collaborations. And as I'm doing it as it stands, budget is something like that anyone in a position like me will understand is really hard. It's hard to be able to sort of make stuff up and give it, send it out. You know, you've got people in America, people in Australia, whatever, they want to collaborate with you. But I have met some of the most amazing people, like Lottie Lamour. Lottie Lamour, hey girl. Grace Victory, she's an absolute babe.
I love her. Yeah. I'm really, really hopeful that I'm going to get her into the studio this season.
Yeah, I think it would be an amazing conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I like chatting to her in my own time.
Yeah.
So I would like to chat to her on the record.
Yeah, exactly. Steph from Nerd About Town.
Yep.
Absolute babe. And these are people that are so inspiring. They're the ones, you know, I often say, obviously as a plus size girl, I never really knew about the plus size community before I did this. And I think if I'd have known about it, things would have been very different, you know, a few years down the line. We all go through that time where you're like, oh, I hate myself, I hate this, I hate that. But if I'd have known about all these people doing these amazing things and putting themselves out there and accepting themselves and loving themselves as they are, you know, maybe time would have changed, but we're not going to look back on regrets. But they have been so amazing. The UK blogging scene, I think, is so rife with talent right now, and the support from everyone has just been it keeps you going. When you're tired and you've had like no sleep, you're on like your 12th coffee and just sewing away, and you just get like a retweet from someone like, oh my god, what you're doing is amazing, it's like, great, this is why I do it. So yeah,
because it's that's someone that other people listen to, so yeah. It's like, yeah, someone whose job it is to know about cool clothes thinks that my clothes are cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's very validating, really validating.
That's so good. I'm very happy to hear that.
Thank you.
I'm glad everyone's treating you good.
Yeah.
What have been like the biggest challenges to getting this business off the ground? Like, what if anyone listening at home is like, I've been thinking about, you know, making my own stuff, like what is a thing that they should consider?
There's loads of things, but I'd say probably the first is your patience. Like my friend Hannah, she set up a brand called Peachy Boo, which is amazing. It's baby wear, it's all hand illustrated, made in Britain. And she's kind of set a precedent in Brighton for like baby wear and ethical baby wear above all. And while I was sort of stirring on this, she was like, if you're going to do it, you have to be patient because it takes time. And I never realised like how much time, like it took me like a year basically to get this to launch. And it's been amazing. Like the whole journey has been amazing, but you have to be patient. You have to be willing to put in the work. You have a lot of work to do if you're going to do it
with no reward in the like sometimes, immediate yeah. future. Like you're working really hard for a reward that will come yeah. maybe a year or 2 years down the line.
Exactly. But you always have to remember your passion. Like for me, I graduated fashion promotion. I'd always been sewing. Like my grandmother, my great grandmother were seamstresses, and their skills sort of came down to me. I thought I wanted to be a menswear stylist. Like that was it. That's what I'm going for. It's not going to pay you. That's always the thing. It was never going to pay me. I needed to set up something bread and butter, and somehow it just formed into Plus Equals, and it's gone really well. But realistically, it's not going to be my paying full-time job for a couple more years probably, and that's fine because fashion has always been what I wanted to do. So as long as you're true to what you want to do, you remember who you are and your passion and why you're doing it, it's all going to work out. I just think that you have to be patient and you have to be willing to sacrifice. Like, I can't remember the last time I went out with my friends. Like,
you've got too many cool clothes to make.
Yeah, exactly. But having that support network, you know, like have your group chats on WhatsApp, like have your family there. Like I live with my granddad and he's so supportive. Like my family are so supportive. And I am really lucky in that respect. But you have to have someone that's going to cheer you on, that you can go to when you're like, oh, I can't do it anymore.
When
like,
you're not cheering yourself on.
Yeah, because there's a lot of those times and it's probably because you're tired or worn down or...
You've got a day job. Like, that is an aggravating factor in anyone's life. And especially having a kind of customer facing job, like dealing with the general public is really draining. So to have that 2 days a week plus this 5+ days a week, because it's not like you don't do plus equals on the days that you're working in your day job.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, like, emotionally draining.
Yeah, it can be. But that's why you have to have those people that are going to be there for you, like, supporting you. Because this is it. I mean, it's not always just making clothes and taking in orders. It's your social media, it's your website maintenance, it's your meetings, it's your networking, it's your events, it's your forward planning, it's everything. Accounting, won't get into that. I've got like a year's worth of receipts to go through next week, but hey, we'll get there. If it's what you want to do, you've got to get there. And thankfully, my job is very supportive. I've been doing that job on and off for like 10 years. I've left and gone back 3 times. So they're great. And, you know, if ever I'm like, I need a day here and there, they're really supportive. So if that's what you need to do, which is perfectly fine, it's like good on you, like you're still working hard, just get yourself a supportive job.
Someone flexible.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, I do not expect you to, like, pass on trade secrets. So I will not ask you for specifics. But, like, what is your process of sourcing fabrics? Because your fabrics and prints are some of the most distinctive I've ever seen on anything, let alone, like, plus-size clothes.
Yeah.
So obviously, I do not expect you to tell me where you got it so that people can't steal your suppliers.
It's fine.
But, yeah, like, how do you go about that? Like, how do you know this stuff exists? Like, yeah.
I'm a frantic Googler, and I used to spend hours on eBay. A lot of the stuff I try and talk directly to who's selling it, and I really like to support independent places as well. So a lot of, like, the sequin fabrics, there's a woman that was selling it on eBay. I've managed to go to her directly. We're friends on Facebook. She keeps me updated. But that, you know, that isn't, like, somewhere I can just go to. This is another thing with setting it up. You have to cover your costs because you've got to buy in bulk sometimes, and that's expensive. And then there's lots of other places, like, especially for, like, print and lycra and stuff. There's a lot of online places. But again, that's really expensive. That's why the cost of my clothes can go up quite a lot, because it's, like, almost £20 a metre.
Yeah.
So, and especially when you're one person doing it, it's not mass produced. But that's another thing I care a lot about, is, like, production. So it's hard, but you've got to make it work. So you've got to find the best deal. You've got to be good at bartering. Thanks for my Jewish heritage there. you've got to get in there. You've got to network with people. You've got to say, right, okay, I'm going to be buying a lot from you, like, in the future. I need the best price that you can give me. So a lot of it does come online. Some of it comes from, like, local fabric stores, but I've just found them to be a bit shady with, like, their continual stocks. So.
Yeah, you don't want to feel like you can rely on them and then you can't.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if something goes really popular, I don't want to have to say, right, it's not available anymore. So, yeah, it's a big mix, but mainly online.
And a question just came to me while we were talking. Have you found that it is hard trying to get plus-size people to spend money on clothes? Or have you found that people are not resistant to paying more for genuinely cool, wild, independently made clothes?
It's been a mix. I recently started selling on Etsy, and I found that people on there are very happy to sort of go crazy. So, you know, they'll buy like 2 kimonos instead of one, which is great because they're happy to support independent sellers. In other areas, I find it is a bit harder. So, like, getting traffic to my own website can be a bit harder in getting people to buy, just because, I mean, I can be like that myself. Some, you know, some random website pops out of nowhere and people are like, oh, can I really trust it? But I think that when people do order, I get a lot of people coming back and ordering again and sending it on to their friends and whatnot. So, and especially when, like, people like Lottie Lamour, hey again, and she, you know, she wore the iPrint crop top. People loved it. Like, you know, we want to see more people loving that and thinking, okay, I can wear that. So maybe it's a confidence thing sometimes, but yeah, it's a bit of a mix.
I think partly it's a confidence thing, but I also think it's like a vicious circle. And this is another thing that I feel like I say all the time, but I'm going to say it again because this is my podcast and I can say what I want. But it's a vicious circle in that people will only wear the clothes that are available to them. So if brands go, well, plus size people don't wear this, so we're not going to make it, how can plus size people say whether they will wear it or not? Because it's never been made for them. So like Lottie wearing a crop top with like hot pink with eyes printed on it. Yeah, sure, like she has to be confident to wear it, but it's also like this is probably the first time she's ever been able to wear anything like it because it never existed, made by anyone other than you. Like, so she's probably inspired loads of people to buy it, but that's probably just because they never knew it existed, because it's never existed before.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a part of why I wanted to do this, is to sort of change up people's perceptions of what they can and can't wear. Because if it's not there, then, you know, I mean, the amount of times that I've heard people, like models, whatever, like, oh, I love that, but I wish it was in my size. It's you're right, it's got to be there for people to buy it and to wear it. So by having it there, I think if you can make that kind of change and people think, okay, well, you know, I do really want to wear that, and they start wearing it, then we can maybe demand more and we can see a bit more of a change in retailers, because, you know.
Yeah, like you be the change you wish to see in the world.
Oh my God, and I live by that saying.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, like, the change will then follow. Like, it won't just be you all the time. It won't be like, you pushing your fat agenda. It will be like the world enabling you to push your fat agenda.
Yeah, we need the world behind us, definitely.
Yeah, and it feels like the blogging community is very good for that, to prove, because I feel like a lot of bloggers are more confident dressers than maybe the general public, so like they are a really good place to like trickle down to, and then from there hopefully disperse that like desire for wild shit among the rest of the world.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, young chubby girls, young fat girls, they need to look up and see people going like, yeah, I'm gonna wear this, and I don't care if like my cellulite hangs out or you can see my stretch marks because I look fucking good.
Yeah, and I don't care if people stare at me, because like, why wouldn't they want to stare at me wearing this?
Exactly. And it, you know, if it's making you feel good from the inside, it will radiate out. And you know, if we can drop that someone's looking at me, it will it will evaporate.
I live by the motto of like, people will stare, give them something to look at.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a really good way for me to navigate the world. And like, obviously not everyone likes being looked at, but like, I genuinely don't mind, but I need to feel like people are looking at me for a good reason.
Exactly. And my auntie said it once as well. She was like, I was like, oh my God, people are looking at me. It's like my little insecure self when I was a teenager. She's like, maybe it's because you look good today.
Yeah.
I was like, and like, damn right.
Almost every time, like I would say 9 times out of 10, 9.5, whenever I'm looking at someone or I'm talking to my friend about someone in public, it's like, oh my God, that's exactly how I would want my hair.
Yeah.
Or like, I wish I could get those shoes in my size. Or like, oh my God, she is so pretty. Or like, they're such a hot couple.
Literally.
And like, I feel like we always assume that people are saying bad shit about us. If you saw someone looking at you, you'd be like, oh my God, why does she think I'm really ugly? And it's like, no, I want to tell her what a radiant angel I think she is.
Exactly. And I think that's how we're kind of conditioned to feel, not only as fat people, but as fat women and women in general. It's sort of, we got to be one up, and that girl's bitching about you. But in reality, they could just be saying that because that's exactly the same as me. I'm like, oh, I love that. I love that dress. I haven't got the confidence sometimes to go up and be like, I love your dress, because people are already on the defensive sometimes.
Yeah. And yeah, I've always found whenever I do say something to someone, they're so touched. Like, they're really happy that you have approached them and said something, or like asked them where they got something.
Yeah,
that has never gone wrong for me.
Exactly.
So maybe like this is a thing that we should encourage people to do more.
We need to lift each other up, like, especially we've got to spread like a little love
now. So Jasmine and I are speaking the day after the bombing in Manchester. And I just feel like now I just want to like tell people nice stuff because they literally could die. Like that's the thing that could happen. And I'm really like feeling very morbid at the moment.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe we should like compliment strangers more.
We got to be nice to each other.
The world is a horrible, hateful place. And there is no safety. So, you know.
Love will conquer hate. And
I bloody hope
we've
got
to spread the love more.
Yeah.
We've got to be nice to each other. We've got to lift each other up.
I know we can't prevent terrorism by telling someone you like their coat, but I can at least take control of my surroundings and, like, you know, make someone feel good even just for the day.
Yeah, exactly. It starts small. It's circle of influence.
Yes.
That's what my auntie says. You start small, you grow.
Yes, you can directly influence the stuff that's around you. And maybe from there, there'll be, like, a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Speaking of starting small with yourself, like, you are the first thing you can influence. What is, like, your favourite stuff to wear?
Oh, I'm a trouser girl. I love wearing trousers. I've kind of come to the realisation, as much as I love a lovely dress, nice, hot, sexy dress, whatever, I've come to the realisation I'm a good old flared or jogger trouser girl. I like textures, I like prints, and I love teaming things with trainers. I'm so not good in heels. I'm very flat footed, so pumps aren't great for me either. So I like to mix things up a little bit. I wore to the Style XL Awards a few months ago. I made myself up a sequin palazzo suit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and
that
I loved
so
it.
Cool.
Literally, anything that makes me feel like Liberace, I live for.
Oh my God, so. Okay. That's a really good question that I had not thought to ask until just now. But like, who do you have in mind when you're designing stuff? Like, what people or things or like influences are informing your makings at Plus Equals?
I said it before, I say it again, I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan. What you were saying about Beth Ditto, I felt about her when she kind of came out. I saw her when she was in O2 Brixton Academy before it just went crazy. So I saw her and I was like, wow, that is what's in my mind. Like, someone is actually doing all these crazy things and I think it's incredible. I'm a huge David Bowie fan. I'm still not over that yet. I don't think I'll ever be. I grew up with my nan listening to Freddie Mercury a lot and Queen. A lot of big gay icons, I guess, really. I'm really, really influenced by. Love Blondie. God, love her. So I guess it's a lot of pop culture. But it depends at the time, you know. I remember a few years ago when I was at uni and I really wanted to do something around sort of like pop rock. The Runaways movie had just come out and that was great. That was so...
Is that the one with Kristen Stewart?
Yeah, and Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
And they were great. That was such a great film. And I swear, anything I watch, I'm like, oh, look at the costume on that. Like, I think maybe I'll end up in a theatre when I'm old, but it depends what's going on at the time, but those are like my main sort of go-tos. I think it's like sort of avant-garde art stuff that is like, okay, no, that's great, like that gives me ideas to want to do this and this and make it a bit more wearable, standout-ish. Big McQueen fan, big Miu Miu fan, most fashion labels, to be honest. I'm so bad at like just narrowing it down, but yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there at the moment and anything that's happening, but I keep in mind my Bowie, my Gaga, my
that's
Blondie.
Like your guiding light.
Yeah,
it's like anything that can make me look like Liberace or
yeah,
Lady Gaga.
Exactly. Bring out the reference books.
Yeah.
And just sit and look. So yeah,
cool. They are noble things to be influenced by.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just this morning before work went to the press preview of the new Balenciaga show at the V&A, which was just wonderful. Like,
yeah.
I would really recommend people go. By the time I release this episode, it will have opened. And there was, on the first floor, it was specifically about Balenciaga, but on the second floor, it was all kind of more contemporary stuff that had been influenced by Balenciaga. And there was some wild shit that I was so happy to see. And there was like McQueen stuff, but there was also like an amazing Hussein Chalayan dress that literally just looked like a puffball made of like tulle in the shape of kind of like weird, like kind of a rose. And it's just so exciting when you look at like, fashion is so exciting. I just felt really excited walking around that.
It is.
And I feel like we're very lucky to be living in this golden age of like kind of designer retrospectives done by museums so that you can see all this stuff in one place and learn about it.
Did you go to the Gaultier?
I didn't.
Barbican. That was fantastic.
I should have done. Because one of the most memorable exhibitions I've ever seen was the Victor and Rolf one at the Barbican. And that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I went with my dad. It was great. and they are so fun. And I feel like the world really needs more stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of time for Victor and Rolf.
Yeah.
Just playful fashion. Like stuff that's not too serious.
And it's an infusion as well. Like, you know, people think that fashion is its own entity, but really it is a huge infusion of history, art, music, like all the things that a lot of creative people probably at one point struggled to choose between, you know. And it's so inspiring when you see the bigger designers and their retrospectives like just come together. You can look at it all as one. And, you know, we are lucky in that we have the internet. We can go on star.com and see the shows.
Yeah.
Like a lot of places will stream them live. But to be able to go to it and see it, and I mean, the Alexander McQueen one was just, I went cold. I went in there and I went cold. It was unbelievable. Same with like a lot of postmodernism stuff. Like I went to the one at the V&A a few years ago for my final major project, and just seeing like all the stuff like Grace Jones, Bowie, like everything laid out. You're right, we're so lucky to be able to go in and see it all and to live through it, because
and to be given like a coherent story to help you understand it. Like, I couldn't really before this morning have told you what like Balenciaga's thing was, and now I'm like, I get it. Like, I understand like what sets Balenciaga apart from other designers.
It's fascinating.
It is.
It's a wealth of knowledge.
Okay, before we finish, I'm gonna ask you some pressing questions. Okay, question number one.
Mm-hmm.
Which plus size person, alive or dead, famous, not famous, real, imaginary, would you most like to dress?
You hit nail on the head with Beth Ditto. Like, when Skins came out and I heard the gossip for the first time, I was sold.
And I really feel like for a lot of plus-size women, all roads lead back to Beth Ditto.
Yeah, she really changed things for us. I mean, to see her on a Marc Jacobs runway...
Yeah.
That is something. Like, it, you know, we've got... We're amongst a lot of Ashley Grahams and a lot of Iskra Lawrences, and... while I appreciate what they're doing, her creativity shines through. Like, you can look at her and see her soul.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that.
I really believe in the person that she is.
Yeah.
Like, she's not just the way that she looks.
Yeah.
She's the way that she looks, which is amazing. And she's everything else. Like,
yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Okay. Question number two.
Yeah.
Which emoji best describes you?
I'm probably the hands up person. I'm like, hey.
Hands in the air emoji. I love that one.
It's a good one because it's like you're cheering people on, like, yeah, or yay, look what I just did.
Yeah, or like, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Question number three. If you were going to go to the shop and buy crisps, what brand and flavour would you be buying?
Oh, that's a tough one. Okay, gonna have to go with my good old favourite, some Walker's Smoky Bacon.
Ooh,
yes, that's
a really good choice. I haven't had those in ages.
I think I'm gonna go get some after this.
I support you in this decision. And final question.
Okay.
Who would you like to hear me talking to on this podcast? Is there a person that you're like, I would love to hear a chat with that person?
We said it. Lottie L'Amour. Girl, you've got to come on here.
Like, yeah, and I feel like she would be a good good chatting person.
She's great. She's like the first person I really met. I was at the CurvyCon in like 3 weeks after I launched the website, and she has been so like loving and supportive since, and I really have a lot of time for what she has to say.
And she's a real perfect fit for the brand as well. Like, yeah. It really makes sense.
She's amazing. I cannot say enough good words about her. So yeah.
Cool. Okay, cool. Maybe for season two, we can have Lottie on. That is all for this week. Before we say goodbye, I just want to encourage you to follow Jasmine online. So can you give your URL of the shop and like anywhere like Instagram, Twitter that people can follow you?
So you can have a look online at www.plusequals.co.uk for our shop. My shop.
That's like me with this podcast. Yeah. I'm like, I write tweets and I'm like, we, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, no, shut up, Bethany. It's I. Like, it's literally just you.
But then you think of like your business or your podcast as like your thing. So it's we. Yeah, I get that. We're on Instagram, we again, at Plus Equals, Twitter at Plus Equals UK, and Facebook at Plus Equals UK.
Cool. I would also encourage you to follow me on my Hello Friend account if you are not already, but I imagine you are because I don't know how else you'd find it, which is at HelloFriend_pod. Please feel free to email me at HelloFriendPod@gmail.com for anything to do with the show, whether it's feedback, suggestions for a guest, you want to advertise on the show, or you have a question for me. But thanks very much for listening, and I'll see you next week.